Hey everyone, how's it going? Jose here, aka The Region Nerd, and recording in the lovely studios of Lakeshore Public Media to bring you the latest discussion on everything pop culture, from Comic-Cons to drag shows, horror movies to hip-hop, and everything in between. Now recently, From Software has released a new game getting a lot of attention called Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. It's the newest Souls game basically meaning extremely difficult, but people seem to think it's a little too difficult. Right now, we give you some knowledge on the history of these games and decide ourselves if it is indeed too hard to be considered playable. So I have to my left here, Skylar, Twitter handle.
Fat low end. That's fat. Low is in like low to the ground. End is in the end of a sentence.
All right. And then we have Mr. Mike over here, Twitter handle.
Twitter handle is thick boy with four C's and four I's.
All right, there we go. And today, these are going to be my Souls experts, if you will. Now, as I said in the intro, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice just came out. And there's a lot of controversy around it because you have half the people saying it's very difficult and the other half saying it's very difficult but unplayable. Now, before we get to that, I just want to go over the topic of today, because we're not just talking about Sekiro, but we're going to be talking about From Software's other games as well from the genre.
Yeah.
Now,
not Armored Core.
Is that also From Software?
That's also From Software.
Pretty much after Armored Core, you got Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, yada yada.
Okay, so, wait, Armored Core is the, like...
Armored Core is like the old mech game.
Yeah, it's an old mech game. It's a third-person shooter where you can customize a robot.
Oh.
By any means, you can add machine guns, rockets, you can have four legs that are wheels, you can have them walk like a humanoid.
I think I've played that before.
Armored Core 2 extensive. Is crispy.
I was thinking of, what's that one, like it's a Fire Emblem type game that you play all the time, Skylar?
Fire Emblem type.
Yeah, it's like you move, it's like turn-based.
Oh, Front Mission.
Front Mission. Now that's
kind of like Front Mission, but it's not turn-based.
Okay.
So
cool. Yeah, I definitely like Front Mission.
Customization.
The dialogue in Front Mission.
Yeah, I was going to say, Armored Core is more my speed. Front Mission is all Skylar.
Now, when you say your speed,
me and active time battle systems and turn-based strategy games just do not get along at all. I need more right in your face games.
I feel it now. Just so we can introduce you guys a little more, going off that, what type of games would you consider that you're not only good at, but that you enjoy to play?
Mainly first-person shooters, third-person games such as, oh man, Uncharted, God of War, things like that. But also some isometric top-down shooters. Binding of Isaac is my favorite game. Right now I've been playing that game for years. I've done easily 500 runs in that game.
I did not know that. I see you played it today. I did not know that.
I've been playing that game for quite a while now. In fact, I have three copies of that game.
Now, Mike, when it comes to, it sounds like you like story-driven games.
Yeah,
like you like a good story in a video game.
Very much so.
Okay, cool. Now, what about you, Mr. Scarlett?
I love a good RPG. I am friendly to turn-based games. I'm not completely negligent to other types of games. I do enjoy first-person shooters.
I was like, we have played
some Rainbow Six Siege.
Rainbow Six, CSGO.
CSGO, yeah.
Overwatch when it was popular.
I was in Overwatch for a little while.
I think we were all in Overwatch
fun.
A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we were all.
At the very beginning, like, we were all gung-ho, and then...
Yeah.
I'm still about it. I just haven't had internet for a while, so that's the reason why I haven't.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Six has eaten up my entire life, but I'm down to go back to Overwatch.
Is a more laid back kind of shooter than Rainbow Six is. Rainbow Six like will have me bellowing steam out of my ears.
I like Overwatch more because everybody's got a job, and if you get a group of people that know their job, like, oh my god, it's beautiful. It's like poetry.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Now, before we go back to the Souls series and From Software, what was that called? Like Apex Legends?
Apex Legends, yeah.
Have you guys played that? Because I have not played that.
No, I haven't played it.
I have not played nor seen it be played.
I feel like that's like all of our stuff combined into one, and we should play it. Because it has like, I heard it's like Halo, but with like class systems, like healers and stuff.
It's more of,
and also
Fortnite. I haven't played it, but I know about it. It's more of, it's Titanfall mixed with Fortnite mixed with Overwatch. Because there are class systems, there is a medic, there is an assault, but it's a huge open map. You do drop down at certain places.
So like a Battlefield meets like PUBG almost.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
With Halo suits.
You have to go and pick up, you have to go and pick up different weapons and different power-ups. And
those of you who don't know, like, what we're talking about when it comes to like PUBG, Fortnite, like that's the battle royale stuff that you've been hearing about. Or if you're older, your kids have been talking about with all the dances and flosses and blosses and stuff.
When you see a kid do the floss, that's from Fortnite.
The first time you were like, Jose, do a floss, I got so angry and confused. And I was angry because I was confused. I'm like, what does that even mean? That's so random. Like, just start with my teeth or something? But you're like, no, it's that dance. I'm like, oh. Had no idea it was called the floss. Makes sense, too, because it looks like you're flossing with a towel or something. But anyways, that's a little bit about us and our gaming preferences and whatnot. And today we're talking about From Software's repertoire, basically. Now, I don't have a list in front of me. I can pull it up really quick, but off the top of your guys' heads, you want to just give a little, just a little history of From Software's games. If you don't know, I can pull it up real quick.
So I'm not a purist. I never played Demon's Souls, which isn't really something too big on my list of things that I want to play because I'm pretty good enough on the Dark Souls series. That's sent me on a roller coaster ride that I don't really know if I can do on the PS3 again.
So, in order here, I have the list pulled up. I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
I am a purist. No, I'm just kidding. But apparently, some King's Field game. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that.
King's Field.
I don't. Do you guys know what that's about? Or
if I'm not mistaken, it's like I believe it's like a first person, like Daggerfall-esque. Game. I don't know. It's hard to describe. I've heard of it, but I'm not 100% on what it is.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about it today. So
either way.
So, so in July 1997, they came out with Armor Core, and then Armor Core Project Phantasma, December, and then Master of Arena, Armor Core, 1999, and other games in between, Spriggan, Framegrade, Eternal Ring, Evergrace, holy crap, Armor Core 2, Jesus.
Armor Core 2 is the one. My cousin Greg will dispute that and say Armor Core 3 was much better, but the reason I like Armor Core 2 is because there was like a tournament thing where like you can build your mech by gaining money through like the main missions and stuff like that, or you could also go into this battle arena and you start at the 50th tier and you fight the next person up in the tiers, and you work your way all the way to the champion.
Like a Mortal Kombat sort of?
Kind of like
thing?
A Mortal Kombat. It's a 1v1.
Wait, so is
mech.
Armor Core like a fighting game?
No, not it's not. There are missions. There are, like, dedicated missions in Armor Core where you do go out and you destroy, like, quote-unquote enemy mechs. And, you know, there's set objectives. There's a story to that game, but 100%. There is also the tournament mode.
Oh, I think that, fight I don't know if one. That's in any of the others, but I know specifically it's in 2, and it's not in 1, and it's not in 3. I vividly remember as a child being so angry at those games after I played 2, and my cousin's like, oh, play the third one, and I got it, and I was like, okay, where's the tournament? And he's like, oh, there's no tournament mode.
Yeah.
I immediately gave it back to him.
Hmm. Well, Armor Core 2 came out in 2000, Armor Core 3, 2002. Man, we have not made it to a Souls game yet. Is it even on this list?
Oh, it should be. They
Armor Core 4?
They've got quite a...
You got to get to like 2011.
Yeah, they got quite a list under their belt.
Oh, okay. So before Dark Souls is Ninja Blade considered a Souls game or is...
No.
I don't think so.
What is Ninja Blade? That sounds familiar. That sounds so familiar.
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I was about to say I'm not.
I didn't know Souls games were this new, to be honest. I thought Dark Souls came out like on the PlayStation.
No.
Wow. Well, now I'm more eager to get into the Souls games because I thought it was like, oh, I'll never.
Ancient.
Yeah.
Can't pick up that technology.
No. But anyways, so the first well, we'll go. Demon's Souls came out for PS3, PlayStation 3, 2009.
Yep.
And yeah, you guys want to? Is there really a story to that, or
there is? I'm not too familiar with it though, because I've been playing it off and on, and I haven't gotten too far into it.
Now, it's not connected to Dark Souls, is
no,
it?
No, not at all. It's a separate...
Like, story-wise, it's not connected to Dark Souls.
Yeah, at all, period. The universe is completely separate.
But it's, like, the same format as a Souls game.
It was the originator of the Souls...
Like, the battle mechanics.
Yeah, basically how Bloodborne Dark Souls play is from Demon's Souls.
So, just to give a little run-through for listeners who... aren't familiar with a Souls game at all. When we say Souls game, we mean like the battle system of collecting souls, correct?
There's games that are called Souls-like, which means you have a limited stamina, and your every action you do takes away from that stamina, and you have to regain that stamina. So, for example, dodging, blocking, attacking all takes away from that stamina. And enemies have the same rule set you do, so they also have the stamina system. It's unseen, but they still have it.
Okay, and so would that be like, okay, that's the definition, bread and butter, of what a Souls game
is? If you had to break it down in its like purest form, yeah. Okay. I mean, essentially.
Yeah, I would say limited resources, and then for the most part, like just clean battle mechanics. Like every button that you hit is going to go through at some point. But, like, there's specific timings in the game where if, like, you're new to it and it's like, oh, I'm trying to get away from this boss, and you mash dodge, you're going to dodge that many times.
You're going to follow through with that
dodge. It's not going to dodge five times immediately. You're going to dodge five times, but it's going to be in the time of the game.
Good example of that is actually Devil May Cry. DMC, actually.
I love Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry is, like, one of my favorite series.
In DMC, you can cancel out an attack animation to do a dodge.
And I love that.
Whereas
super quick.
Yeah, whereas like in the Souls games, no, when you do an attack, you are doing that attack. You can't cancel that animation out.
Yeah.
There's no oops, let me go back.
Yeah, there's no I messed up button.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna read this real quick. It just says the idea behind the genre is to label those titles that would give the player a similar experience to play a Dark Souls game. So a Souls game originated with like From Software's Demon's Souls, right? That's what it's called?
Originally, yes.
Okay, Demon's Souls. That's where the name comes from. There's other names from different companies like Neo and...
There's Neo, there's... Flamebound or...
What's that online game that was like similar mechanics?
Bound by Flame online game.
It was like For Honor or something like that?
Oh, I've never played For Honor.
For Honor's really cool, and it does have like stamina mechanics, but that... I don't know if I would necessarily consider it like
because it is like,
Soulsborne-y, but like
it's PvP.
Like, yeah, 100% PvP.
And there is PvP in online Souls games. I don't know which one, but not necessarily. That doesn't define what a Souls game is. But basically, what this thing is telling me is higher than average difficulty, experience leveling, loot, well designed maps with shortcuts, mysterious story with lore found within the world itself. High penalties for death.
Yeah.
Challenging bosses. I would add very challenging bosses.
Yeah.
And then combat focus on reading enemy patterns and adapting to difficult situations.
Yeah.
I've only played one Souls game so far, Bloodborne. And it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. The best.
Very hard. Very rewarding.
That's actually what got me playing the older Souls games again.
Because
before, Skylar knows about this because
I do know.
Yeah, that's how we got introduced. I bought Dark Souls 1 and 2, and then I was getting my face kicked in those games. And I was like, you know what? I'm done. I went up to Skylar. I was like, hey, man, you want these games? He was instantly hooked. Didn't play them for years. Bloodborne came out, picked up Bloodborne, and then something just clicked with me.
Something just clicked.
I was like, oh, this is it. This is how you do this.
I know when Skylar gets a Souls game, like it's going to be a couple months before
disappear.
Before we see him again.
Crawls out of the shadows.
Oh, I disappear and delve into those games.
But let's come back to the mechanics of the game.
Real quick, I think another thing that you said reading that that I would say defines Soulsborne's games a lot is that none of the information is really like fed to you, and that it is sort of if you want the story, it's there, and if you just want to play the game, you can play the game and get bare bones, but like everything else is through your own research. And not saying, like, go up online and look up what the game's about.
Like, within the game.
You reading the item texts, it's all based on how much you want out of the game. If you just want to play the game, beat the bosses, and be done with it, bare bones, you can do that. Or if you want to get really deep into the lore, you want to know who these people are more, you read the items, and it's all on your time, you know?
Like, yeah,
it's not fed to you at all.
Yeah, you could dive real deep into that game. I mean real deep. Like there's people connect in ways you wouldn't even think about in that game, and all you have to read item descriptions and listen to NPCs chat. It's a very expansive game lore wise.
I really like that. And one example that I've had of something like that, other than Bloodborne, of course, is the first Dead Space. Yep. I remember I was playing through it, and I was like, "This is an awesome horror based game." For those of you who don't know what Dead Space is. Look it up, but no, Dead Space is like a third-person shooter, yep. horror type game. Yep. At least the beginning's horror before you get all these weapons and then you're just blasting. But
yeah,
still destroying.
very much enjoy the story. And the thing I really love about it is like there's these little like pamphlets and journals you find or audio journals you find, and they all connect in the story. And oh, that's why this door is all jacked, because this guy left this journal on the floor saying. This giant monster just went through the door, acid bath, and it makes sense later because he fought an acid bath monster. And I just love the shout out to the people who write just the little stuff like that in video games, because that
the flavor text writers,
those
are the geniuses.
Yeah, they can make or break a game. If you get a bad flavor text writer, it's so
just the bonus juice.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ah, ah.
What keeps you coming back to the steak?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have more video game talks. But, yes. Anyways, let's get back to the list of Soulsborne games. So Demon's Souls was first, 2009. Then you have the main big famous Dark Souls that came out for PS3, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and the PC. And, now it's for Nintendo Switch. Oh, okay, it tells me the dates right here. So,
yeah, there was a remaster.
So PlayStation 3 and 360, it came out 2011, and then it came out for PC 2012. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a weird order, too, because a lot of things come out for, you know, PC.
I think PC people were begging for Dark Souls. After they saw it on console, they really wanted it.
Dang. I don't know. I feel like, just to go off that a little bit, like, after playing Bloodborne and seeing like the Souls games, like that's a straight up console game. Like the way that it plays, like I know like you can get a controller for PC, but like just thinking of like old games like Mario and whatever, like using like the controllers, like it just seems like a console game.
Everything you need is on the controller. Yeah.
Fun fact about the Dark Souls for the PC, it's actually really broken. Like the port is really broken. So one of the most popular mods for that game is called DS Fix. Which fixes everything in the game. In fact, the area Blight Town, it runs so atrociously. It drops down to like 20 frames a second. And DS Fix brings it up to a manageable like 50.
God.
Yeah, it's bad.
That sounds bad.
It's
Blight Town
really
is
bad.
Horrible. If you want to see clunky,
it's really.
What were we
bad.
Looking at in 2012, like technology wise for the
PlayStation 3?
Or like PC wise?
Oh,
like,
I'm not a PC player.
I got my
but...
MacBook Pro 2011-2012.
Yeah.
And you see how it is now.
Pretty sure I got my Dell that I'm using now in like 2012 or something like that.
Well, I mean, you can think about it like this. The game Crysis, which is one of like the most demanding PC games out there, runs better than Dark Souls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. After Dark Souls, we have the Armored Core, what's it, V5?
5.
Shoof. Yeah. Armor Core 5 comes out.
They just don't let that series die.
Nope.
Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn. Wow, is that their first mobile suit game?
I think so.
That's kind of cool. Then Armor Core Verdict Day. Man, Armor Core is...
I need to get back into that.
That's what I'm saying.
I just need to get back into that.
Just reading about it. But Yeah, let's see. Dark Souls 2 came out PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, March of 2014. So
that's right about when PS4 was coming out. I think that's one of the last games. Like, yeah, that's PlayStation 3 cycle.
That's the black sheep of the Souls series. The black sheep.
We'll definitely get to that too. Yeah. Or you know what? Let's talk about it right now.
Oh, this is gonna be deep. This is gonna be a sidetrack.
I was about to say we could just do like a quick like overrun of why it's the black.
Yeah, we got time. We got
the game,
but
the series.
But why is it? Why would you guys consider it the black sheep? Like in your own words, real quick. Go, Scott.
Graphics wise alone, it looks really different. It's almost like you're going from a very rustic, realistic looking Dark Souls 1. Everything's kind of in these like weird gray, brown, gray hues and stuff. And then Dark Souls 2 is almost cartoonish.
It really does have a cartoon
in the way that it looks. Yeah, there's something more cartoonish about Dark Souls 2 upon first glance, and it's just really weird. And then for 2, the tracking is unforgiving.
I stopped playing that game because of the tracking
at
one point.
If you literally don't dodge when the sword is literally about to crown you, they will just 360 no-scope you and continue to decimate you.
Now, just to add really quick, we'll talk about Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sun as well. I don't know, is there any differences between the two? It came out a year later, well, a little bit under a year later for PlayStation 4 and all the other systems.
Yeah, there is a difference. Scholar of the First Sun includes the Ivory King DLC, the Crown of the Sunken King DLC, and then there's one other one I don't remember.
So it's basically just DLC.
It was DLC, and then there actually is I don't know if I want to go into spoilers or not, but it does add another character in there, a pretty significant character.
I would say that one of the biggest differences is enemy placement. Thought you knew Dark Souls 2, and then you get Scholar, and you get ganked.
Yeah,
relentlessly ganked.
So is it harder?
Artificially harder.
And it's just weird. Like, that was actually going to be one of my questions was, do you think that Scholar of the First Sin was, like, honestly a necessary thing or not? Like, because, yes, the addition of the DLCs and stuff, totally fine. And, like you were saying, like, one of the other characters, cool for the story.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, the enemy placements like seemed put there like what's the word I'm looking for, like almost like with malice.
Yeah, there's
like they wanted you to feel pain in certain areas, and it's like forced.
If I had to choose between buying the one thing, Scholar of the First Sin, versus buying Dark Souls 2 and then all the rest of the DLC, I would take 2 in the DLCs over Scholar of the First Sin, because that enemy placement is relentless.
There are parts too, I think, in like the original Dark Souls 2, which I haven't played in a very long time, but like thinking back on it, I do want to say that there are parts of like boredom where it just feels kind of empty.
Well, one of the big reason it feels different is because they actually didn't have the director whose name I cannot remember, and I would butcher it if I knew it. But the director of Dark Souls 1 and 3, he wasn't a part of this one.
Oh, well.
So the team had to go, okay, what would he do to make this hard? And they completely mistook
getting ganked mercilessly.
Yeah, they mistook that for, okay, let's make this area hard by dumping 10 guys here instead of having 2 or 3 well-placed enemies. It was just, oh, here's 10 guys in a house. Like, oh, okay, cool, I'm going to walk into an ambush.
So unnecessary?
Completely unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Because the games at heart are forgiving. If you mess up, you got a chance to get back, you know, regain health, re-strategize, whatever you got to do. But in this one, when you're surrounded by 10 guys, there's almost no way you're going to be able to get out of that situation.
And how about this? And I know I think you also had to do this. I had to remake an entire character because I joined a covenant that made the entire game harder.
Yeah.
And they don't even tell you this.
So
you got different covenants that you can join the game almost immediately. As soon as you get to the hub area of Dark Souls 2, you can join these different covenants.
So just for time-wise, we'll just chalk that up as unnecessary.
Yeah.
DLC, Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin.
Yeah.
February 5th, 2015.
Honestly.
But the next game, I didn't know it came out like same year, basically, Bloodborne for PlayStation 4. Mm. And it looks like it's just exclusively for PlayStation 4.
That's the reason I got the PS4.
Wow. That's pretty big considering that they've had such a large fan base with 360 and even – it's not even on the PC, is it?
No.
No.
I think they're talking about putting it on PC, but I haven't heard anything about
I know the PC people have also been begging for that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty big – wow. But anyway, Bloodborne came out 2015, PlayStation 4 exclusive. Also between that and Dark Souls 3, Monster Hunter Diary, Poka Poka Iru Village DX for the 3DS.
That was a mouthful.
But anyways, Dark Souls 3 came out 2016. That seemed just like very recently, but it wasn't. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows PC. That came out 2016. A little later for the PC. And then we come to today. Not exactly today because it's April. But March 2019, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So now that we've got a little history of the games and From Software, let's bring it back around to the main one of the main subjects for today is let's talk about the complexity of all the Souls games and how difficulty adds or detracts from the games in general. To start this off, I say let's talk about Bloodborne and how great it is first before we start arguing, because listeners at home, it is split, and I am
very, very split
between the gentleman in this room, but in the studio. But anyways, okay, let's talk about how great Bloodborne is. So
where do we even start? for me, the aesthetic alone sold that game.
It's story.
It's dark. It's gothic.
Heavily inspired by H.P. Lovecraft.
Lovecraft.
So if you've ever read Lovecraft, you know the twisted mind of Lovecraft, like Cthulhu, Call of Cthulhu.
Shoggoth, all the great old ones.
If you long for Eldritch horror, Bloodborne is the game for you.
Yeah.
If you like hard video games and Eldritch horror, Bloodborne. But story aside, like gameplay mechanics, to my knowledge, it's different from Souls games in a traditional sense, because regular Souls games, there was a big blocking feature. You can be a little bit tankier in that regard.
You want to take this one, or you want me to take it?
You were more of a poise main. You could go on this.
Okay,
poise.
So, in Dark Souls, one of the strategies you can do is you can block almost anything. In Dark Souls, you can put up a shield, walk into a room, be prepared for whatever's going to come after you. All right, Bloodborne's not necessarily like that. Because there's a shield in there, but it's a joke. It's literally a joke by the developers. Bloodborne is more reactionary. So you're fighting monsters. You're fighting crazed villagers. And all of them will just jump out and attack you mercilessly. But it's more about the dodging and the movement than it is necessarily tanking hits or, you know, blocking everything that they have to do.
Another big difference is armor matters in Dark Souls, whereas everything in Bloodborne is basically for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, they call it fashion souls.
And
I love it.
The only thing that really matters, I think, is the resistances. So, like, against poison and frenzy, like, if you're in an area that has some poison, slap on the ugly suit for a little while and get some poison resistance.
You'll thank yourself later, but especially frenzy.
Other than that, really, it's mainly for your aesthetic and how you want your character to go through the game.
If you don't know, Frenzy and Bloodborne, if it's a small meter that fills up, and if that meter fills up, it takes away about 3/4 of your health in one fell swoop.
Basically about die.
Yeah, you have to gain that back pretty quickly in some areas.
And I guess we haven't really talked about it, but dying in Souls games. Basically, you kill enemies, you get experience, and you get points to level up. That's pretty normal in a video game.
Souls and Dark Souls, Blood Echoes, and Bloodborne.
Yeah, RPG elements and whatnot.
Standard.
Yeah, standard. But the thing is, when you die, you lose all of it, basically, correct?
Like you basically, like, leave a shell of yourself on the ground where you die. and you get one chance to go back and recover yourself. And if you die again on your way to your recovery,
that's gone.
Wave goodbye to everything that you had.
And for those of you who know, like, RPG type elements and like, oh, pause, go to the upgrade menu and then use your points. Like, there's none of that. You have to go to very specific points in the map.
Yeah.
Lighting flames of some sort. Bonfires. Yeah,
lit in the bonfires.
You can, you can change how you play. For example, I play a glass cannon. I hit real hard, but I can't take too many hits. Skylar plays more of a like a stamina build. He could just swing and swing and swing and swing, just keep that attack up, but doesn't do a whole lot of damage.
I'm the
tsetse
fly of the Souls community.
Yeah,
I'm also more of like a glass cannon. Like, I like hitting hard, like big risk, big reward, big consequence.
Yeah, I like carrying a big stick, if you will.
And if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to pick this up, oh, I probably won't die, like, you'll definitely die, and I will wager you'll probably die over 100 times.
Yeah.
Especially if you are not familiar with a Souls game, especially if you're not familiar with games in general, you will die.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's Dark Souls 2 or Dark Souls 3, but literally the opening credits, this old lady, I think it's 3, she basically says, like, you will die many times, but will you achieve victory? Basically, like, she tells you you're gonna die.
Yeah.
So
the game isn't
the
like
bat.
About survival, basically. It's about getting through the game. It's not like Ghosts and Goblins or Ghouls and Goblins, where
Super Ghosts and Ghouls, I think, like, is what it's called.
Like, you old game, you guys probably heard of it or not, but it's also up there in very hard games because
One hit KO,
one hit. Well, you get armor, and then once that's done, you're dead. And to beat the game, you got to go through the whole game basically twice that amount of little things right there. But, what was I going to say? Speaking of old games are difficult. Like, they don't usually, age well, like... Old Lion King game.
Oh, no. My God.
Extremely hard.
I'll take Sekiro any day over that Lion King game.
So unbelievably hard. Especially if it appeals to, like, children and it's that hard, like, tantrums will be had.
I messaged somebody one time. They were playing some old game on Twitch, and I was like, you know that no child out there beat this game. And some guy was like, well, you don't know, there's video game gurus out there at the age of 10 that could have beaten this game. And I was like, no 10-year-old beat Lion King.
That, I believe it.
Yeah, no, I'll bet.
You got your older cousin or older brother to beat it. Yeah. No.
Your older brother beat that game for you. If anybody saw that game completed, it wasn't your 10-year-old self. Mm. Like, you can quit lying on the internet right now.
I bet my entire game collection, no 10-year-old out there has beat that.
I am a grown man, and I cannot beat Lion King.
I will say, though, I had, like, I still have him. He's older now. But I had, a 5-year-old cousin. My cousin Al had his little 5-year-old. Yeah. And he could beat the entire Mario series, like, with special coins and everything. Like, Super Mario World, he knew exactly all the hidden stuff. And he was, like, a little kid barely holding the controller. And he was taught to do that. I feel like at a young age, you're allowed one thing to learn fully. Like,
yeah.
It's either the 50 states or all the presidents or...
Mario front to back.
Mario front to back. But, we all like Bloodborne. And you said it's more of dodging and maneuvering as opposed to other Souls games where you can be more tankier or stamina build.
It's reactionary versus preparation.
Also, the magic is lacking in Bloodborne. There's some cool magic you can do, but it's not really a viable build.
Yeah, that it is very fun to use magic too.
Very fun.
Fun factor there. Replay value there, because there's so many weapons that you can use throughout the game and so many things you can miss the first time through.
So many the trick weapons is what makes Bloodborne my favorite. Like, there's way more weapons in Dark Souls than there is Bloodborne,
and all of them have like their own like weapon arts and combos. It's
Bloodborne, every weapon is different, and the trick weaponry, the secondary uses to every weapon, like you just can't beat it. Like, it's a wonderful, well thought out weapon system and really good.
Now, time wise, haven't really been eyeballing the time because I know we kind of like BS'd in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I want to have this as a two-parter. So this will be a tiny pause right here, but it may just go on, depending on how long the next part goes.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's talk about Sekiro. New game out in the block. I don't own it. You two own it.
Yep.
You didn't tell me you were going to buy it.
Squad
or else I would have bought it. I didn't know it was a squad get. But anyways, a lot of people are saying very difficult. And I'm also hearing a lot of people say an easy mode. Now, easy mode isn't necessarily a new concept. Like, people have been saying that since probably Dark Souls 1 came out, or ever since the internet found out about Dark Souls or whatever. But easy mode in Dark Souls. Now, I'm going to start off with Skylar here. How does that make you feel as a Souls fan? Like a Souls From Software Souls game fan in easy mode? And how is it, I guess, is it disrespectful in a way? Or is it, does it detract from the game?
It doesn't detract from the game, and it's not 100% disrespectful. I would say that for From Software, and especially in the Soulsborne series, it would be a first. And I don't know how easy it would be for them to go back into the game, give you this large update for this new easy mode. Now, I know it'd just be a matter of crunching numbers or whatever, but again, they worked so long on the game with this game in mind, and I'm still pretty solid on the fact that they give you all the tools that you need to succeed in the game. Now, even in Dark Souls,
and I was going to say,
you still are given.
Comparatively, do you think other Souls games need an easy mode as well? If Sekiro would get an easy mode, would that warrant like other Souls games to get easy modes? Or is this a different hard? Like, is it too extreme?
It's a different hard, but the reason I say it's a different hard is because the leveling system in Sekiro is almost non-existent. You basically get to increase your vitality and your stamina meter. And
those are the only 2 meters, right?
Like those are the only 2 meters.
Yeah.
And by stamina, I don't mean stamina actually, but like how many times you can block successfully before your poise is broken. It's your poise.
And your attack power too.
Yeah, and your attack power is the other thing that you can level.
So basically, for the listeners out there who aren't really keeping up with the lingo, Sekiro gameplay wise is kind of simpler as in the sense that it has less
elements, yeah.
Yeah, it has less of the RPG
it
elements.
It is
and
much less
so
of an RPG.
Just straight fighting.
Yes.
So it's how hard you hit, how much life you have, and
how much you can tank.
Yeah.
Like how much you can defend before your defense is broken.
Yeah.
Okay. So your stance doesn't need an easy mode.
It doesn't need one, but if people honestly want one that much, this is the game I would say needs it over Dark Souls, and reason being is the things that you need to upgrade those two elements in Sekiro, you really can't farm for by normal means because you don't use quote-unquote souls or any sort of currency to upgrade your stats. You have to get these items through beating difficult people. And if you're already having difficulty with the game, you're probably not beating those difficult people to get said items to upgrade your defenses or your attack to kind of even out the fact that you're getting beaten.
So what's different basically is in other games, you're not only given the chance to upgrade differently if you can't beat something, but
there's a farm
in
factor.
Order to upgrade, you need to defeat those big creatures, and if you don't, then you're not going to upgrade, which leads to you not progressing at all.
You can buy a few of the let me reiterate, you cannot upgrade your attack through any purchasing means in Sekiro. You can buy some of the prayer beads, which you need 4 of.
Now, prayer beads, what is that?
You need 4 prayer beads, which are basically given to you from defeating difficult enemies. Basically, almost any mini-boss gives you some sort of upgrade material or prayer beads when you beat them.
And prayer beads give you more health.
Prayer beads will up your health, but you need 4 of them. And I know that you can probably buy 2 or 3 of them, so you can't just purchase your way to one upgrade. Like, even then, you're deep into the game before you can even purchase two prayer beads, okay. Which are very expensive.
Now, before we get to Mike, mm-hmm. When it comes to rewards and replay value, and I'm not talking about rewards as in, like, EA exclusives or, you know, pre-order the game and you get this. Like, rewards as in, okay, I feel accomplished because I defeated this really hard thing, or as opposed to like, oh, I found this hidden gem that not a lot of people hide. Do you think that adding an easy mode would take away from that at all? Like the satisfaction of completing something yourself, but Mr. Long John also completed it on easy mode, so you both experienced that.
Yeah, but I feel like in a way, like, it'd be more of like a self reward for like me, like, because obviously if they add an easy mode, I'm going to be like, okay, did you play the regular game or did you play on easy mode? Like, I'll still discuss the game with you, right. Whatever, you know, but as far as like my own self-accomplishment, because there's a lot of enemies in Sekiro right now that I have not beaten because of how extremely difficult they are, and in hopes that I actually beat this final boss, which is no joke.
Yeah, he's brutal.
I hope to actually go back and figure out a way that I can defeat them, if not getting frustrated by trying to beat the final boss, and I go back and beat them right now. But there's a lot of like a Nuzlocke challenge for Pokemon. People are doing a lot of no basic attack runs where they literally only use the tools, the prosthetic tools, to like beat people down to death blow them.
Oh, okay. So for like, people who don't know, the Nuzlocke challenge in Pokemon, and Pokemon is an RPG, and you get your team together, and you level them up, and then you fight. And the Nuzlocke challenge is what, you just use Nuzlocke?
You can only catch the first Pokemon in every area. That you see. So basically, the first random encounter you come across is the Pokemon that you can catch. And if you don't catch it and you kill it, you can't catch a Pokemon in that area. And you have to go to the next area. And if one of your Pokemon faints, you have to release it. So you're very limited on your resources. You don't get to pick and choose who your people are going to be. It's all random chance.
So just like an extra hard mode
it's a self-difficulty created. That you add.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, going on to you. So you believe that there should be an easy mode in Sekiro, correct?
Yes.
And now, let me just start this off by asking, do you think that other Souls games would benefit, or not necessarily benefit, but would they require an easy mode as well, or is Sekiro a different type of difficult?
It's hard to say. I think that they would benefit from an easy mode. But I don't necessarily think they should have it. But Sekiro, absolutely. When it comes to the Dark Souls games, Bloodborne, what have you, you can do different play styles. Like we talked about, I'm a tank, I'm a glass cannon, I hit hard.
Mm. All three Skylar, of us have pretty different games.
There's different ways to play those games. Big shield, whatever. Sekiro, there is one way to play that game. So you have to play a parry. You have to knock a sword away before it hits you. And I can't do that. Some people can't do that. That's just not how we're built to play these games. I will never see the end of Sekiro because I just can't play that game like that. Now, adding an easy mode would be could be maybe mixing up the enemy placement, you know, toning down how much damage they do. How much damage you do, fixing that. I don't know. There are smarter people than me to figure that out. But I really think it would benefit from an easy mode.
Okay. All right. So, Skylar, have any rebuttal to what he said when it comes to, like, mechanics as or people's ability or inability to beat the game? And I will throw out, there has been videos of paraplegic people, like, beating Sekiro and saying it doesn't need an easy mode, but that's not necessarily, I'd say it's pretty rare, you know, like they can do whatever we can do, you know, but I'd still one out of every, what, like million people probably, like I don't know. I'm just throwing random numbers out there.
Yeah. But,
what do you think about like ability and inability to beat this game?
There's still different play styles I think that you can do in Sekiro, but there's still, again, the limit on damage you're doing and everything. So it's more of like a in Sekiro there's a big practice of patience. Whether or not you're slowly learning the like different mechanics of the game as far as like blocking parrying goes. You can also kind of try out the I've seen people use straight up the prosthetic tool, like, and they just dodge around and they do the straight whittle health. Like, even with basic attacking, you don't have to parry. You can dodge a lot of them and just sort of beat their health down, because there's even one of the tips, I think, in the loading screen that says, like, oh, are they regaining poise quicker than you're doing poise damage to them? Like, reduce their vitality, and you'll have the opposite effect. You'll be doing way more damage to them poise-wise than they'll be regaining. So it's sort of like you can sit there and not damage somebody, like, through vitality means, and just parry the crap out of them and then do enough stamina damage to them to where you do the death blow, or you can do the raw strength, beat them down for a while until they're literally no health, and then you hit them once and they're in death blow mode.
So just to go back to it a little bit, do you think everyone can do that, or do you honestly think that there are people out there that absolutely cannot do what you have been doing in the game?
Well, even like Mike said, like, people have different play styles. Like, the parrying, I think, is a good thing in the game. It's a good way to get across a lot of the enemies. There's one enemy specifically that if I didn't parry him, I don't know if I would have beaten him or not, because you basically have to block him to death, and that does way more parry damage than you trying to attack him, because he's just such a relentless character. So there are times throughout the entire game where you have to use all of the forms of the way you can play the game. So there will be times where you have to use parry, and specifically use parry against certain enemies. There will be times where you specifically have to use the prosthetic tool against enemies to do damage to them, like that the one boss where you had mentioned to me, throw a shuriken at her. And we ended up beating her. Yeah. We ended up beating her after that. So that was like...
I know exactly who you're talking about.
That was an epiphany thing, you know? Like, I was trying to go about it one way, and the way that I was trying to beat her, I was beating my head against a wall. And then it came to me that I can go about this a different way.
So just a question for both of you, whose job, I guess, would be, or who is it up to if something's too difficult? And, like, who is it up to get past that? Like, where does you draw the line between, oh, you can't get past that because you just can't get past that. You either need to train or look up how to do it if that's your fancy, as opposed to something's literally broken and the developer needs to step in and change this.
That's kind of hard to answer, because Sekiro is a good game. Like, it's not broken or anything. It's just it's built for not me, basically. It's built for people who are like me that can't parry. I'm more customer facing when it comes to something like this, because these games are expensive. Not everybody has a spare $60 to lie around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I look at it like this, somebody saved up $60, was really excited for this game. They play the game and they just can't play it. It's unplayable for them because they can't just comprehend the parry system, or they can't get past a certain, you know, brick wall, quote unquote. And, you know, if they bought it digitally and can't return it, that's $60 they're not going to have again, especially on the PlayStation.
Now, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, now who's to say, like, oh, I spent $60 on this game, unreturnable, and it's just a crappy game. Like, oh, I wasted my money on this. Like, I want my money back because it's a bad game. Like, you said that Sekiro isn't a bad game. Mm. It's just you're unable to play it, basically. Yeah. And obviously, there's people out there who are beating this game, who are getting through the game, who are playing that. Now, what makes it so difficult that it needs to be changed as opposed to, like, because there's obviously many people beating it.
Yeah, there are a lot of people beating
it. So what makes it so difficult that it needs to be changed specifically for you and the other people that cannot
beat it? It doesn't need to be changed for us necessarily. Like, we're not every game needs to be for everybody, but it's just, it's the options. So in Dark Souls, let's say you can't beat a boss. Mm-hmm. You can go back to the area before them, and you can just grind and grind and grind and build up your character so you completely blow past that boss with no issues. Sekiro, you can't do that. Okay. Sekiro, you can't go back and build up your character's strength, health, yada, yada, yada.
So you're more so saying with the history of Souls games and people are accustomed to a certain type of difficulty and they were able to get through it, Sekiro does not offer those same ways?
Pretty much, yeah.
And they took it out and you think they should put something like that back in?
Not necessarily, because that would have to rebuild the entire game. Mm-hmm. But it's number crunching, like Skylar said. Lower enemy health, or lower how much damage their attacks do. Mm-hmm. Up yours a little bit, up your health a little bit, you know, whatever. But rebuilding the entire game, no, I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. All right. Well, fellas, I believe this was a great addition to Urban Nerd Alert. Thank you everybody for joining us tonight. It's 8:30 our time now. I believe the moon's out. Go pick up Sekiro or rent it first. That's always
rent
a thing.
It.
Rent it.
Watch reviews.
Yeah, because it is an expensive game. Because games now are very expensive. Well, not very, but it'll cost you a few hours of work, you know, depending on where you work, and many hours for some people.
Or if you want a good idea about Sekiro, pick up Bloodborne for about $15.
Bloodborne is very cheap, very great game. Yeah. I would definitely recommend
it. It's old enough now to where it's dirt cheap and it's not lost any value.
Or play Binding of Isaac, because I love Binding of Isaac and it's a great game and I think everybody should play it.
I might play it. Well, thank you guys for joining me today, and I hope that this will be a weekly thing with more guests.
I'm down.
I would like you guys to be a...
I would definitely be about that fat low end.
Thick boy with four C's and four I's.
I don't even know what mine is. Mine's probably not even appropriate to say right now, but
mine wasn't either. I had to change it.
I'll link it in the description. But thank everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.